This episode of Remnant Radio is brought to you in part by our sponsors at Kairos Classrooms. Have you ever thought about learning a biblical language as a supplemental tool in your biblical studies? Well, Kairos Classrooms offers real classroom environments with classmates and a live instructor who can help teach you biblical languages, both Greek and Hebrew. You need to check out Kairos Classrooms today. The price for a single semester is crazy affordable for anyone, so check out the links in the description and use promo code REMNANT to get 10% off Kairos Classrooms. Check out Kairos Classrooms today. Discount code REMNANT, REMNANT, to get 10% off your semester.
A keyboard. Hey guys, welcome to the wonderful world of Remnant Radio. Today in this program, we're going to be reviewing some prophetic words from Sean Bowles, the man, the myth, the legend himself. It's going to be an exciting program. You guys stay tuned.
You are watching The Remnant Radio, a crowd-funded show where we interview pastors, teachers, historians, and theologians from different churches and denominations. My name is Joshua Lewis, and this is my co-host, Michael Roundtree. Together, we want to help you break outside of your theological echo chambers. If you're interested in learning about history, theology, or the gifts of the Spirit, this is the show for you.
Guys, we have an exciting program for you today. Before we dive into the subject, I want to remind you, Remnant Radio is entirely crowdfunded, so if you want to support the channel, there are links in the description. You can give a one-time gift on PayPal or reoccurring gift on Patreon. So it's $5 a month, you'll get access to extra content. Also, as a reminder, we do have a conference, a healing and deliverance conference, that we're going to be hosting in March. If you want to go check that out, there's a link in the description, very bottom of the video. It says conference, and then there's a link. Click that link, and you can find out more information there. Man, it has been a busy day. You might notice, hey, the graphic kind of went up a little bit late. The YouTube video went up a little bit late. What's up with that? Well, part of it was this guy over here, Michael Roundtree, all the way there in Oklahoma City, just drove up to him, you know, fixed some of his lights, bud. In his studio space.
Yeah.
And I just made it a little bit better. That's all.
Yeah.
What?
That's nice.
What did you do to my studio, Josh?
So okay, I noticed when I came into the studio... There. Completely unprovoked.
I mean, as of
it was a little bare.
I knew it was there. Okay, so those of you who are watching this visually, you know what's behind me. This abomination that is behind me. Those of you who are listening to our podcast, Josh put a poster behind me where I normally have like this deer head. It says Psalm 42, you know, like as the deer pants for the water. Anyway, so this tatted up deer is usually behind me, but Josh replaced it with a picture of his bright smiling face, and it says my hero. Josh, it's not
actually
okay to lie.
I want to be very clear, guys. This is what we call an accusation. Okay. There's no evidence whatsoever. I came into his office and he had this printed off completely of his own volition. I thought it was flattering that he would put that up there saying that I was his hero. I mean, there's no evidence to point in any direction.
Yeah. Josh, I just really, whenever I do this show, I feel like you're just watching over me. Like your presence is with me.
Without further ado, anyway. Of just being stupid.
Yeah, but I'm gonna have to rip your face down, Josh, because not only is it an abomination to the Lord, but I don't think anyone's gonna be able to take me seriously for the rest of the show. Not that they did, but we're gonna have to take care of this. Miller, how are you doing, bud?
The idols and the high places around you, Miller. Tell us how it is in the basement.
Basement's always nice and cool. We've got, 22 hours of straight snow. So I think we'll accumulate about a foot here in Denver, Colorado. And then I've got to dig myself out of the, snow pit to get to the airport, either tomorrow or the day after. Depends on the weather, but I'm flying out to Philadelphia.
Are you doing ministry stuff in Philadelphia?
I am, with a bunch of college students from Penn. And so it's with a Christian Union. So I'm doing that this weekend. And then next weekend, I'll be in Cincinnati, Ohio at Antioch Church doing a prophetic conference, which will be fun. Taking a bunch of people from my church. I'll hopefully see some of our Remnant fans. I think there's a bunch of people planning on coming to that, right?
To Cincinnati?
Some of the guys you know.
The people
have
messaged us on Facebook. I encourage them not to go, but I don't know. Maybe they'll
naturally
choose to.
Excellent. Yeah, okay, guys. Keep it low key.
Roundtree, how's your Wheels of War?
It's going pretty well.
Michael,
Michael,
yeah, over here.
I figured you would like want to put that in your bedroom or like in your bathroom or something, you know?
Well, you know, sometimes you got to destroy the high places. So
yeah, you're really going to tear down the altars.
You know, I'm actually thinking, Josh, of grinding this up into powder, putting it in a stream and making you drink it.
Wow.
little Bible wow. joke for you guys.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. So now hopefully you guys can take me a little bit seriously, just a teeny bit for the rest of the show, or at least you could pretend. So Josh, we're doing a little prophetic review, and I know we talked about before the show. I know it was kind of on your heart to do a little bit of a framing and a preview of kind of what to expect before we jump in.
Yeah, well, I would just say that it's important that when people watch these videos, they understand that we are charismatic. We believe in the gift of prophecy and healing and deliverance and all the various charismatic gifts. But when we do these prophetic reviews, we're only doing them because we see that Scripture is commanding us to do that. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22, we're told to not hate prophecy, not despise it, but to cling to what is good and reject what is evil and to test everything, right? And then 1 Corinthians 14, 29, when one prophet speaks, the others are to judge and weigh what's being said. So in both of these accounts, we were told to examine prophetic words. And what we found was the only people who are examining prophecy on YouTube are the people who don't believe prophecy is a thing, right? So like we have this group of cessationists who are saying, hey, we'll test these words. And it's like, wait a second. If we're charismatics, we should be the ones jumping on here testing words. So this is just continuing in that spirit. If you've seen other thumbnails of us or other videos where we're testing prophecy, we have been and always have been charismatics who practice the gifts, including prophecy and healing and those kinds of things. We love the gifts of the Spirit. So today, when we're doing this video, it's not anything personal against Sean. It's not anything personal against the charismatic space or anyone who practices the gift of prophecy, but the whole point and motivation in doing something like this is just being faithful to the Scriptures and to test all the prophetic words that are given. And hopefully we can give you guys that are watching a system of weighing and thinking through prophetic words so that when you're in your own church or at a conference or whatever, that we're giving you somehow tools by way of example on how to weigh and test these things. So that's kind of our aim. That's kind of our hope.
And I'll add a little caveat to that if it's okay.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I would also say that part of the other reason we're doing this, and we've been doing this at the beginning of every new year. So we did, the first time we did it was like an 8-hour review of several prophetic words. And then we just started doing weekly ones in the years following. But part of the reason we're also doing this is because we don't see a lot of like YouTube prophecies that we go, wow, that's really prophetic. If anything, I think on some level, we're a little bit disappointed by what we're seeing out there and the fact that these guys aren't being reviewed by anybody who would consider themselves continuationists. So it's a bit to bring reform and a little bit of a correction to the charismatic movement of which we are part of and for, right, if that helps.
Well, no, and I think, but I would say, fair. I would maybe even qualify what you said, Miller, and with this. And,
qualify and a qualifier?
Yeah, I'm qualifying your qualifier to say that we're actually rooting for, like, we want, right, to see charismatic prophets get it right. We, right, want to see people, like, taking a risk, and then a year later, we come back, and it's like, dude, they nailed it. Now, I'd certainly like to, if they are going to predict something, I'd like for it to have some relevance to our lives, you know, to have not just come across as this sort of Christian horoscope sort of deal that we continually see. But at the end of the day, we love prophecy and we want to see prophecy at its best because we think people are despising prophecy for lack of testing prophecy. And then the other thing that I would say is, you know, given that we're doing these weekly prophetic reviews, it feels a little different for us in some ways, even though we do this specific thing every year, because we're not a discernment ministry in the sense that we're not heretic hunters. We're not just out to be like, they're the bad guy, they're the bad guy, they're the bad guy, as a way of saying, hey, we're the good guy. We're really just trying to bring reform to the charismatic movement, and testing prophecy is just a big part of that. And we're again eagerly hopeful that we can find some prophetic voices that are right in this kind of space. Now, on local church levels and people sharing prophetic words with one another, I mean, all of us have thousands of stories of those kinds of words being accurate and so on. But these sort of national level words, we're not seeing a lot of accuracy. So anyway, so I just wanted to put those little qualifiers to your qualifiers.
Wow, guys. I think we've qualified the show. I think people know exactly what to expect. And lots of just like hyphens of also this. I want to agree with Michael. You know, we did the Copeland episode. That was kind of a sensitive topic for a lot of people, and I think we made everyone upset. That's what we love to do. Not we don't love to do it, but it seems to be when we were walking a side of discernment, we're not trying to bride bash, but we're also trying to call balls and strikes like we've been trying to do faithfully. And I think it upsets people because we're not super critical of Bethel. I think the way that people want us to be, like, we are critical of Bethel, but we're not like going to bash them or get rid of their salvation. And with the Copeland thing, it's like, man, he's teaching outside of orthodoxy. And there's just both sides are upset about the video. And we want to be very clear. Our hope, our goal is not to elevate ourselves as some kind of like YouTube cosmic charismatic judge and look down on people. And by creating content as frequently as we have been this week, two separate videos, discerning and investigating something, we don't want to take on that kind of MO. So I hope that people can just realize this is just the season, that time of year where we have to review prophetic words. That's why we're kind of doing this the way that we are. Do you guys want to jump into October 18?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's do Sean. Yeah. So we're talking about Sean Bowles. Let's
Shawnee B.
I do want to jump into the, what's that?
Shawnee B.
Shawnee B. We're talking about Sean Bowles, and Sean Bowles, he was kind of, just to introduce him as a person, was on the forefront of prophecy and media, it seems to me, because his
social
words,
media.
Yeah, social media, because his words were really getting out there, because in personal prophecy, he really seemed to be nailing it. And so he kind of got this following, and then he wrote this book, I think, if I remember right. It was called Translating God. And so he wrote this book. So he's kind of garnered a bit of a following since then. And now he's moving into these national level words. So I think he got his early start at IHOP in Kansas City, early on. And then he kind of moved toward the Bethel side of the world. And
wasn't
guys,
he
am
a
I
kid
missing anything
at IHOP? Like, what? He was a kid at IHOP. He wasn't like ministering prophetically at IHOP, from what I gather from our encounters with Bickle.
Yes,
and
I believe that's true. Like, as in he went to church, or he was just in that space as a teenager.
Okay? Yeah, he didn't minister there. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good clarification. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
cool.
So. Yeah, so let's jump in. Let's listen to it.
Okay, we are going to October 18th.
Let's get back into this prophetic word. So some of the words I'm getting, you know, for the new year, which the Jewish calendar already just started, we're about to enter into a financial strategy that God wants to bring his people into during this time of recession. There's been a bombardment in areas like energy, food, utilities, housing, building prices, etc. But there's a financial strategy. I can feel it coming from heaven. It's coming from God's heart. And he's releasing it so that in this time of financial uncertainty for the majority, you're going to be resourced to do what God's planned for you. And I saw three things that are going to help you do this as I've been praying in the new year. And this is really, some of you read this. I wrote some of this out, put it on Instagram, but I'm going to kind of flesh it out a little bit because I think it's going to help you. The new, this is one of the keys, is that there's a bold push towards the new that you're going to experience inside your spirit. This means you have never done it before. This means that possibly it's never existed before. We see whole industries taking shape that never existed before. Can you imagine if you were at the beginning of the entertainment industry or the beginning of fossil fuel industry or at the beginning of something else, and you were an insider on the beginning of it? Well, many of you are going to be on the inside of something that's coming out, maybe in the tech world or maybe in some other venture capital world or something else. And God's naming this in my spirit. He named it the season of new discoveries, where you're going to find innovation like you never have. And it could be for ministry, for family, for marriage, or it could be for your spiritual calling, your destiny. And what if there were angels who spent their whole existence worshiping the throne room, but were commissioned to help us now? That means that from the time that this all started, from the time they were created, they were assigned to worship God. But he knew in the end of times, during some of the last days, that they would be the glory that they had been become containers for by sitting in his presence would be needed by those people, which are us and those who will come right after us. I believe we're close to the return of Jesus. I don't know how long it is. I feel like my kids are going to grow up. I don't know if their kids are going to grow up. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I know that God's assigning heaven and glory to us. That's been germinating in the glory of heaven from the beginning of time, and that he's assigning it to our generation so he can get and we can give Jesus his full glory. I think it's gonna be really powerful. But what if they were able to bring this glory from that place of true glory? And what if they're coming around you now to take you to places that you will feel truly privileged, especially as you watch the world go through so much hardship? I believe the early church understood this, and they went through some of this where they felt privileged to know Jesus, to have his assignments, to walk with him, because they lived above the culture that they were in. They were not of the world, but they were in the world. And they really understood that. There are a few new circles coming around you. Partnerships are coming out of God's heart to honor you. Relationships you could have never met without his divine grace are coming. This is one of the resources he's sowing into you. And God's going to be your advocate. This is number two. He wants to be your advocate, especially in financial issues and areas. And we're going to see God come as an advocate this year. Now, when you think of advocate in the Old Testament, you can picture Jesus as the high priest, as kind of a lawyer before the throne of God, advocating for the people of God. And anyone who's had a good lawyer, a doctor, a parent, knows what having a right advocate will do for your life. I know I had incredible parents. So if I was bullied, or if a teacher was just looking, you know, past me, not thinking about me, if I was left behind in some ways, you better believe my mom, Stacia Bowles, was there saying, "What's going on? Like, my son is important. He's valuable. You know, why aren't you including him? What's going on?" You know, he felt passed over. He felt like neglected, whatever it is. Or you better believe if I was getting behind in something in school, my dad was there saying, "What's the plan that we're going to make sure that Sean's not behind, but he's ahead? How are we going to make that plan?" When you have a good advocate as a parent, or if you have a good lawyer, like I have an incredible lawyer, I can call him up and I can say, "Doug, what's going on? This is what I'm going through right now." And immediately I'm restabilized because I know he's a lawyer that will take me all the way to the end of a process, and he will fight for me. Well, we have Jesus, who is an advocate for us, and he's going to come. And many of you are going to realize how much heaven fights for you, how much Jesus stands before the throne for you. And you're going to really understand this with life's most pressing issue, that the high priest is Jesus, that he is, you know, Job 16:19, it says, "Now behold, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high." Are you in a legal battle, a financial turmoil, a relational challenge, a health crisis? Well, you're not in it alone. You have one who will be your advocate, who's so, so powerful. And I'm going to encourage you to know God, know Jesus as your righteous judge, know Jesus as your advocate. And then the last thing is, God's giving many of you and many of us a side hustle. He's going to give you encouragement to develop several streams of income, not just your career, but also projects that can earn you money. And if I'd given this word in 2019, I don't know how many of you would have received it, because we were happier. We didn't think the economy was going to crash this hard. We didn't think this was going to happen. But now many of you are realizing, to have a 10% inflation around you, to have all these added costs. I mean, I think groceries are up 13%. And I think gas is up for us. I just paid $6.90 at the pump. We need more ways to produce income, and God has them for us. He's creative. He's so good. There's real estate anointing. That's what he's releasing in the midst of all the shaking that's happening in real estate. So some of you are going to make money in real estate while everyone's telling you not to buy and not to do stuff with real estate, because the market's going to crash. Well, God's going to give you divine discernment for commercial and residential real estate. There's apps and app-based incomes for people. There's social media incomes, network marketing incomes. There's small and large business ventures. And many of the disruptive technologies that are taking off are going to be populated by Christians who get in at just the right time. Some of you are them right now. You're getting excited hearing this word, because you know that God's put something inside of you, that there has to be more income, and that you have the ability, Deuteronomy 8:18, to produce the resource that it takes to get the job done. God wants to help you to live above inflation and interest.
Yeah, that was that. Okay, so the first three parts of the word, things are going to be new. God's going to be an advocate. What was the third one, guys?
Side hustles.
New advocate and side hustles. Hop on there. Who wants to go first?
Okay. Well, we'll start with, I'm going to start with the positive. Okay. He called Jesus our high priest, and he said we should come to know him. He
quoted scripture.
Advised people. He quoted some scripture to us. Those were some wonderful parts. Jesus is our high priest, and we should know him. Miller, what about you?
On the positive side. Okay, so this is tough. Sorry. the thing I was thinking about, if this was him giving a teaching, I could pull in a lot of scripture to affirm a lot of the stuff he's saying. But the problem is this is all being called prophecy. And so I'm struggling to find a lot of positives there. I know Sean, I've hung out with him and met him, and spoken with him. And so, it's hard because I'm criticizing somebody's words who I have a relationship with, and that always makes it more tough. But, I'm not seeing, I'm seeing mostly stuff that I could, how do I put this? If it were a teaching grounded in the scripture, there's so much that I would take to the bank with that. But because it's prophecy, not necessarily grounded or specific enough to test, then there's really not a lot I have to say about it. It's positive in that he didn't say anything unbiblical.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you watch this video and there, the first thing you heard was, hey, the new year is going to have new things in it. Like, okay, you know, like the first part of his prophetic word was new, like just a single word. And it could be new in business. It could be new in family. It could be new. And it's like every year, all that happens is new things, right? New things in politics and finances and family and business. And like, that's not a, you know, Miller, you call them words of obvious, right? That's right. not a word of knowledge. That wasn't a prophetic word. That was just kind of like, yeah, that's a thing. All of those criteria that God's going to be your advocate. Well, yeah, that happens in every time and every season. God is never not your advocate. Where are we suggesting that in 2022 or in 2021, God wasn't advocating for us? I don't think that you can do that. Now, those are on the grounds of the prophetic word there. Roundtree, do you have anything you want to add to the critique of that?
Yeah. I mean, first, so he does quote some scripture. We like that. It's way too general. So new things are going to happen. New industries are going to be birthed. Well, that's already happening. I mean, at an astronomical pace, and it's never not happened. But it's happening all the more now. I mean, we just did an episode on transhumanism about this. So if I can read the news. If I can read the news and see that this is happening and then I prophesy it, that's not actually prophesying. So that would be the wrong word to use. Because prophecy, at least in part, is telling the future. But in full, prophecy is receiving divine revelation and then communicating it. So if I'm communicating something that's not by divine revelation, but just what I read somewhere, that's not really divine revelation. You say, well, God did show me that, but why did you need God to show you what is in the news? And so, new stuff that's very not specific. I don't like it. You know, that Jesus, we're going to experience him as our advocate. Just like you said, I mean, we have literal scripture. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So to quote, again, things that we already know, this time, not by news articles, but by written revelation. We already know this to be true. And it's like, well, but in a special way, we're going to experience Jesus as our advocate. Again, it's way too general. Again, it's still true to the scripture that we're an advocate. Certainly, all prophecy should be true to the scripture, but we're looking for something that actually reflects some kind of divine revelation. And then side hustles, man, that's happening in a huge measure right now. And you know, apps, and you know, when he multiplies like apps, small and large businesses. I mean, it seems like he's just listing all the industries. I mean, not all, but I mean a bunch of them. And man. It's like seemed like everybody has to get a side hustle these days because the inflation's so crazy. Mm-hmm. And then I think I would add this last thing. The big warning sign was right at the top of right even before he went into the threefold so-called prophecy. He quotes the Jewish calendar. He references again, the Jewish calendar. And what we have taught our viewers is anytime somebody's referencing the Jewish calendar, just go ahead and tune out the rest because it has nothing to do with prophecy. It has nothing to do with prophecy. And we just see, and you say, well, that's a little strong. That's a little harsh. Okay, I can, you go back and watch our videos every single year. guys, when you just start to see dozens of famous prophets quoting the Jewish calendar to predict things that don't happen, you just start to call a spade a spade. And this is it, guys. Don't listen to
it. It's Christian horoscope at that point.
And Dr. Right, Brown, if anyone thinks that we're crazy, like, go watch our 2020 prophecy review. He came on the show and explained how this is deeply tied into Second Temple Jewish mysticism and not historic Christian faith. The people who are doing this reviewed as heretics in Judaism and in Christianity. Like, you don't just grab a date from a Jewish calendar, turn it into some kind of like message, and then declare it over people. It is Jewish horoscopes. I'd love to engage with Tyler's comment.
Hold on. You're not calling Sean a heretic. You're saying that many of them were considered heretics for using.
I'm saying the pattern of pulling dates from a Jewish calendar, the only root in historic Christianity that is on the heresy side of historic Christianity. I'm not calling anyone who does that a heretic. Okay. I'm saying that historically, because that I'd be calling tons of people heretics, and I'm not doing that at all. I'm saying that it's not a biblical practice. It's not consistent with Judaism, because the claim is, well, the Jews would be doing this, and it's like, no, the Jews aren't doing this. They never did this. That's not a thing.
Gotcha. Can we engage with this comment? Guys. Yeah,
I think you're right to want to talk about Tyler's comment. That's a good one.
Yeah, so he said, okay, so let me kind of pull, I'm going to make it bigger because it's like not readable for me, so because I'm blind. Why is it not sizing well? Okay, well, I'll read it. Y'all can see it there on your screen. It says, we are in the middle of inflation and many people are struggling financially. He's prophesying something that is opposite of the current reality. It's not on the news. I would just strongly say, who is he prophesying it to, Tyler? And when can I know when it's come to pass? Like, when 10 people say, hey, I've been financially blessed, when 20 people have said, hey, I was a Christian, I was financially blessed during this downward spiral, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 200,000, like how many is the bare minimum threshold? And can we say, well, if some were super successful, what about the ones that are starving, you know, in third world parts of the country or third world parts of the world who are dying, or people who are bringing the gospel in China that are being slayed? Who was this prophetic word given to? This was just generally over the year 2023. Are there places in the world that are having prosperity? You know, like who is this given to? And this word is just released, like, this is what the new year will bring. And Tyler, I would just say, this is not at all prophecy, because it can't be judged. If half of the world has financial disaster and half of the world has financial prosperity, we can always look back on this and say, hey, you know, predicted this. It's not helpful.
Famously, every downturn has winners that come out of it, because it's like, this is the time to, like, you ever see, you know, Mr. Potter and It's a Wonderful Life. He's like, you know, this is, everybody's selling. It's the time to buy, you know? So like, there's always somebody that's blessed financially by experiences financial increase because of a financial downturn, and they're able to profit off of it. But I also, now, if he had said inflation is going to turn around, because you reference inflation, Tyler, but he doesn't say inflation is going to turn around. He just says some general number of people are going to be taken care of financially because they're going to do new stuff. And we're saying, it's not prophecy. It's not prophecy because it's too general and it can't be tested. And I don't buy it. I don't buy it. And also because they'll get side hustles. Well, everybody's got a side hustle. So I'm going to say respectfully, lovingly, it's just not prophecy. You can say, well, I'm encouraged by it. I'm glad you're encouraged by it, but it's not prophecy. And we care about prophecy. We want it to flourish. So I think we've pretty well, go ahead, Miller. What were you going to say?
Yeah, sorry. I've been wanting to say this for a bit. Two things. One of them, he talked about having a strategy for real estate. People are saying don't buy, yet God is going to give you strategy to buy. So here's the thing about this. This is actually scriptural. He's not saying anything prophetic. He's just saying what the scriptures say. If you lack wisdom and you find yourself in a situation you don't know what to do, ask of God and he'll give you wisdom without fault finding. And so again, there's nothing specific there. It's just quite literally something that's promised in scripture, is that God will give us wisdom when we need it. But then secondly, he also quoted Deuteronomy 8:8 as sort of a proof text for his prophetic word. And I've got that pulled up. It says, a land of wheat, barley vines, fig trees, pomegranates, of olive trees, and honey. This is a word basically given to Israel about God's provision for them. But the problem is he's proof texting something that's completely divorced from its context, a context in which God himself was going to be the oversight of Israel as they were faithfully abiding by the covenant. And then the opposite is true. If they failed the covenant, then just the opposite, like there'd be thorns and thistles and the land wouldn't produce things. And so he's sort of just haphazardly applying this, saying, I know that this prosperity is going to come to these people because God said this in Deuteronomy 8:8, which has nothing to do with the people today. So there's some
misuse. It's been a while since we've done this. Can y'all just maybe speak into just the utility of giving public, national level prophetic words? And like, could God do that? Would God do that? Are we just building ministries off of these national prophetic words? I mean, my perception personally, and y'all can walk it back or speak your piece on this, but like it feels to me like there is undue pressure on people who might actually have a prophetic gift to keep releasing prophetic words for the year. This video's got 30,000 views. We watch the videos from, you know, Destiny Image. We watch the videos from Charisma News, and they have a boat ton of views, hundreds of thousands of views oftentimes from these new prophetic words. And they're vague, they're not specific, they can't be judged. But because they say prophetic word 2023, and people, oh, and this in my book, and you can go find more, it's like focusing and hyper-fixating on this so that we can get views, so that we can sell books. And they're so vague that they can't actually come to pass. In my perception, we need to take a pause on national prophetic words until we get our ducks in a row and figure out what prophecy is all about. Because it feels like right now all they're using it for is clicks and sales. So people were asking in the comment section, what's the use of a national prophetic word? I think Agabus gave a national prophetic word. I think there could be utility, but I don't know that I could trust anyone at this stage because of what we've turned it into.
Right. Well, Josh, I agree with you. And Acts chapter 11, you're right. Agabus does predict a famine that comes over the entire Roman world, and they take up an offering as a result of it, and the church is provided for at a difficult time. So what I like about that national word is it actually has relevance for the church. And by the way, Agabus was trusted enough of a prophet that people actually staked something on his prophecy. And that's saying something. It wasn't just like a take it or leave it. It's kind of a horoscope. No, it's no one says it's kind of a horoscope who's delivering it. But there's not this like take it or leave. Like, it's just he puts out this word, and Agabus is this trusted prophet that people are like, okay, I'm giving financial offering, and it actually pays off. And so I see some utility in a word like that. I don't see any utility in the words that are given. And so on a utility basis, I would say that if I had to choose between no national words and what we're doing right now, I would definitely choose no national words, because I believe it's harming the church. It's harming the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's harming prophecy. And it's causing cessations to be like, if that's charismatic, I don't want that. And then I'm going to add one more thing too. On national level words, even though my interpretation of Deuteronomy chapter 18 is different than the cessationist who will say, oh, well, this says that if you miss a single prophet, you need to be like taken to the woodshed, or prophecy, you're taken to the woodshed. In other words, if you miss a prophecy, you are therefore a false prophet. We've been over our interpretation of Deuteronomy 18 so many times, I feel extremely confident that's not what that means. On the other hand, it does communicate to me an enduring principle that if we're like the stage from which we're prophesying, so to speak, in Deuteronomy 18, it's a national stage. It's somebody even posing as a messianic figure, a covenant mediator of sorts, because Moses will call him a prophet like me. Jesus comes and he fulfills that. You can see that in Acts chapter 3. So we're talking about like a national level prophet delivering these prophecies. This is to be taken seriously. And I would say that is an enduring principle. It's different from what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, where, you know, one prophet speaks and then, you know, the others weigh and judge. And they're judging, they're discerning, is this right or wrong? And the person, if they miss the prophecy, it's not, they're not, certainly not stoned. They're not even excommunicated. There's no even evidence that they're censored. It's just like they kind of move on, and that's it. And so, but I would say there's a difference between these two. One's a national level word, and one is just people prophesying within a church setting. And so what I would say is, even though my interpretation is different than cessationist, where I can at least agree with the cessationist on this, is that there should be a tremendous fear and trembling before a holy God if I'm going to share a national level word. This is not something, it's not like that game 500 where you throw the football and like 500, it's not just like, oh, let's just throw it out there. Y'all probably don't even know that game. Anyway, let's just throw it out there and see if anyone catches it. Like, that is not how you should have an utter fear and trembling to speak on behalf of our almighty God on a national level. And if you are not utterly and completely confident, trembling before the Almighty, that this is from him, zip your lips. Do not say it, because this is harmful, and it actually reflects, in my opinion. Now, I'm not suggesting Sean does not fear God. Sean knows his own heart. People who know Sean know his own heart. My guess is that he probably hasn't even thought about that, because this is just so part of the charismatic culture. And I would say the fact that this culture formed, the culture itself reflects a lack of fear of God, and I would say it's having adverse effects.
Yeah.
So, Miller, is there anything you would add or take away
from what I said? I would say that the pressure is real. I mean, there's a reason why Charisma News and Destiny Image are doing these kind of marathon prophetic things, is because people jump on it. I mean, the view count is astounding. And it's the same reason that people jump on two horoscopes, though. And that's sort of on some level, it's the hunger for the supernatural and hunger for God. That's a good thing. The problem is it's hunger without any kind of rubric or any kind of filter for what actually is God and what is not. And you see this in Israel's day, the prophets were prophesying for gain. They were saying blessing, blessing, when in fact Israel had abandoned their God and they were coming under the cursings. And so, when the invitation comes to one of these guys, say, hey, would you like to be on Charisma News 2023 prophetic words? They're going, yeah, of course. That's going to get me so much, you know, FaceTime in front of audiences that I would never get to get in front of. And so I can see the temptation there. You know, if they've got a book, it'll sell. If they've got, a small following, they'll get a bigger one. But that's not actually what you're after. You want the Lord to give you those kind of influences and following, and you don't want to get that through prophecies that are just vague and can't be tested and actually bring a reproach against the ministry of prophecy.
Yeah, I think that there's probably, we need to view these things as like a primarily, let's think about the ministry of a pastor. Primarily, the ministry of a pastor is confined to a local congregation to care for the people in front of them, to preach and teach the scriptures, right? That's often the job of local pastors. Now, occasionally, there will be a pastor that has national level influence. You know, Billy Graham might have been an evangelist, but still, like you think of a pastor of a local church, you know, like a Todd Wagner, a Matt Chandler, a Francis Chan. They were just pastors of local churches, and you know, for whatever reason, they had this national level influence where they could preach and teach nationally. I think that might be a fair metric of thinking about prophecy and saying that the vast majority of prophecy takes place in the local level, edifying people. Like, God doesn't say, hey, every year prophets go into your prayer closet and find a prophetic word for every single new year between January, you know, and December. Like, nobody's getting these prophetic words in like August, you know, like the next 3 months. It's always like 2023 prophetic words. So I think that we should probably go back to the drawing board, go back to the way that we're thinking about prophecy and maybe aiming to edify individuals and point people to Jesus and that kind of thing, where I don't think these things are all that helpful. Do y'all want to jump into the next video?
Let's do it. Yeah. We got two more. So
Dan, what's going on in the entertainment industry prophetically. And I had a vision where God was serving notice to demonic powers over the entertainment industry that was holding ground. That was Jesus's holding ground. That was not theirs to hold. And he was serving papers. Angels were serving papers to people in internet, media, people who were on television and in film and music industry media, people who were, you know, in different prominent positions, that God was sending angels to serve notice, that they had like 30 days or less. They had 6 months or less. Some of them had, it was instantaneous notice. And he was raising up people who would literally stand in those same positions. It's kind of like the Esther Herodias thing that Esther's asked the king. She petitioned the king and said, up to half my kingdom. But also when John the Baptist was in prison, a woman comes out of a spirit of seduction and false empowerment and says, can I have something? Says, up to half my kingdom. There's literally these enemies that are standing in these places of authority that God is judging right now and removing. And God is putting people there that are going to change something in entertainment, because Jesus, the Father, wants Jesus to be seen on the silver screen, in fashion, on TV, in sports, through lives, in profound and powerful ways that he wants to give Jesus glory for what Jesus did in history. And he's about to give him those places. And there's people who've been paying a price and living a life of surrender behind the scenes who've been in these roles. Now, before I even talk about them, I want to say this isn't just a word for entertainers. It's also about us, because some of the cultural transference of God's very nature is going to happen for your kids, your grandkids, your coworkers, your employees, because they saw a story of what family's like. They heard a song that changed their heart. They saw an athlete or a coach give a speech that inspired integrity. You realize that the majority of humans spend time up to 6 hours a day per family member in households in America. I'm not sure what it's like in other nations, but in households, up to 6 hours a day, four minimum, six maximum, an hour of that spent TV viewing, and the rest of it's on usually pads or phones. And so we have that much media intake. It is forming identity. It's forming thought. And God is giving Christianity, and is giving people who have goodness in their nature, he's giving them the rights and the authority. There's a transference. Like last week, I talked about the transference of wealth. There's a transference of authority, a transfer of power coming from entertainment companies, celebrities, and the businesses of entertainment to bring impact and power through kingdom-minded believers and people who have that goodness, that God in their nature. God's going to put his blessing on projects and music and fashion and film and TV and video games, all over the internet, sports, and all forms of entertainment. We're going to see a move. It's not just going to be a few, like one chosen or one movie. We're going to see a move of God where these projects will be blessed, and they'll seem to come out of the left field, not the left, but the left field to the mainstream media, who usually don't only promote a narrative that if it isn't woke or it's not extremely political, then it's not worthy and should not be, and it should be canceled because it doesn't meet these criteria. But the good news is there's some Davids that are going to be coming out of the field, doing the real work that God is about to raise up to defeat some giants in the box office and some lions in the fashion world and some bears in the music industry. We're going to see those Davids fighting, and they're going to have the power to overcome obstacles that are right in front of them. Some of you need to be praying because you're seeing entertainers that are being raised up, athletes that are being raised up to be a voice, people to be raised up to do projects. And I just think of the fashion industry, which is going through so much right now because of the demonic root system that's there. And God's raising up some fashion houses that are going to shock you, because they're going to have a kingdom branded identity, not just behind the scenes. Some of them will be raised up on the surface as well, just like we've seen the Chosen raise up and subvert the normal channels of mainstream media and Hollywood. That's an example and a template of how God's going to raise up projects and people that will come in a back door, but they're going to do a front room work in the industry. There's a transfer of power, but also wealth, and organizations that have, they're being exposed. They're being exposed right now for hidden activities. And this power goes somewhere. This wealth goes somewhere. As Balenciaga falls, I don't think it can get back up. The power of the wealth goes somewhere. The influence and the relationships that they held are going to be given to people that are worthy to hold these offices of a God assignment to do something that's needed right now on the earth. So you can see it. You're seeing the need and you're seeing the evil, but you're not seeing God.
Okay, a couple things. A couple people in the comment section are like, hey man, you know, this guy's been a huge blessing to me. You guys are judging these prophetic words. Again, here's the thing. These are not prophetic words. They're not. They're not specific enough. They're not clear enough. These are words of obvious. They're not words of prophecy. And I know that, you know, Sean has given very specific words in the past. We have Facebook videos, YouTube videos where he calls people out by name, gives them very specific, sharp words that really apply to them. I haven't seen any of that stuff recently. Whatever that means, I don't know. I have seen a lot of these really vague prophetic words that no one would know if they came to pass or not. And by that standard, I think we can judge them. I know you're saying like, hey, it hasn't been enough time for us to know whether these things come to pass. But like we said, if I said, hey guys, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow you're going to stop at red lights and you're going to stop at green lights, it's not helpful. It's not prophetic. It's predictive, certainly. And it's true because we all are going to do that for the most part. And it's going to apply to many of us. In the same way, these are not prophetic words, because they're just general. So I hope that you're taking into some consideration. Also, I think maybe because we've been doing a lot of discernment videos with the Bethel and Copeland thing and doing prophetic words, our comment section looks highly unusual. You guys are very eager to throw rocks and jump on people. I would just encourage maybe some caution, maybe some carefulness with our speech. We do want to discern. We do want to judge. We do want to be careful. It's concerning to me that we're attracting so many people who all they want to do is talk about how everyone's a heretic. That's concerning, and I don't typically care for it. That's throwing some comments on both sides of the comment section. Guys, who wants to jump in on this video? I'll let one of you guys take it.
Yeah, sure. I'm searching for something positive. I really wish I did. I'm trying. I would simply say, I think it's obvious. Josh, what you said is obvious. The general thing. It was general. But besides that, there are a few concerning things beyond that. One, it stuck out to me this time when he said about what he talked about the angels. I saw some angels and I saw some demons being handed notice. Angel and demon talk in visions is so common in charismatic circles. And I think it almost in charismatic circles can give you more authority than if just God told you, right? Which is sad because, an angel is way subservient to God. And they're actually ministering spirits to us. So, but it reminds me of a scripture verse, Colossians 2:18. And it says, I had it pulled up just a second ago. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels or religion of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reasons by a sensuous mind. Okay, so he's going to go on and talk about these people have kind of lost their focus on the head, who is Christ. And he's going to go on by the end and say, lift your eyes up to things above, lift your hearts up to things above. Christ is seated at the heavenly realms. I want to be gospel centered. I want to be Christ centered. I want to magnify Jesus. And it's I'm not saying that there can't be a vision of an angel. There can, and there are in the New Testament as well as the Old. So it's not that it can't be there. It's just when I see it so commonly, I begin to lose confidence that everybody's seeing all these angels, but then nothing that they see is coming to pass. And, he had his last vision had angels in it. This vision has angels in it. But this over fascination with angels and demons, I'm one that believes in spiritual warfare. I'm kicking demons out of people on a very regular basis. Okay. A very regular basis. Okay. I very much believe in spiritual warfare, but an obsession with angels in the charismatic space needs to stop because we've lost touch with the head. That's one. The second thing I would say, he mentions the transfer of wealth. Guys, if you heard the transfer of wealth prophecy every single year for 20 years, it's not right. And don't listen to it. And that also shows you that he is echoing, he is repeating things that he's heard from people. Gives you a little hint. Maybe he's not hearing from God on this. Last, at the end, he talks about wokeism and being canceled. And one of the things I always watch for in a prophetic word is if one's politics are part of the prophetic word. And listen, it's not that God can't speak into politics. He can. And it's not that, statements on anyone's thoughts on wokeism aside, I really don't want it in my prophetic word. Okay. And here's why. We already saw with the Trump prophecies and all of that, and all these people got it wrong. It is so easy to be colored by your politics when you're prophesying. And when that sort of bleeds into a prophecy, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm simply saying it's a red flag for me, and my discernometer goes up. So those three things, overemphasis on angels, transfer of wealth, and bleeding into one's personal politics. I don't like it in prophetic ministry. What do you guys think of what I said?
I appreciate the catchphrases. And I'll give you a few others that constantly used. One from the last word is God is doing a new thing. Every charismatic preacher, anytime they make any kind of change in leadership, change in government, change in building, God is doing a new thing. Or God is giving us a new wineskin for the new wine, which is scripture literally taken out of its context and misapplied. I would say anytime you hear the words, for such a time as this, It's like those Christian buzzwords from Esther. And you just hear it all the time. And then transference of wealth. God is transferring, taking it away from unrighteous and giving it to the righteous every single year. And you see it in every single charismatic church where general prophecy is accepted. So that's it.
Cool. Let's do the last one.
Let's do it.
So I'm going to give you a word that I had a dream that ended up being this word. And I think you're going to really enjoy this. I think this will really speak to many of you. And I want you to take this, like, I don't know how you receive prophetic words, but I like to just be able to be in a quiet place and listen to it. Or like sometimes I'm in my car or sometimes in a, you know, and I believe in giving general prophetic words because sometimes God activates your faith to access him through the word and through his spirit when you hear these kinds of words. So even though it may sound generic, what we've seen, and we've seen it by hundreds of thousands of people, when they receive a word, sometimes we'll do a prayer altar call time and say, God's doing this in the, with a lot of you, or God's doing this with some of you, and we'll do it in live meetings. Sometimes it's over the internet like this. And what we tend to see is that there's people who learn how to wrap their faith around something that's available in God that they didn't see with their spiritual eyes before we gave the word. So yes, not all these words apply to all people, but when you'll know it's for you because your spirit will be activated by it. You will have a hope or a faith that's not just like, I wish that was me, but you'll feel God in it. So I saw in the last couple of weeks, actually, it was over the last month, I saw pens coming down from heaven, and I saw they were given out so many believers in the body of Christ could really sign papers that were some of the most important documents we would sign, possibly in our lives or possibly in this season. And I saw people taking off a shoe and giving it to another person, which represents the Old Testament. When you take off your shoe, this sounds funny, when you took off your sandal and you gave it to somebody, that was a contract. Like modern day contracts, we sign papers. Old fashioned contracts in the biblical days, they would take off their sandal because they're going to walk with you, or they're going to give you their walk. They're going to walk. It's a symbolic sign of giving you, making covenant or making. So I saw shoes being given, and I also saw pens being given. Now, interestingly enough, not only is this the way that, you know, the Old Testament world that they would make covenant, but there was also people who it caused their destiny to move forward because they made these contracts and covenants. Like in Ruth 4:8, the closest relative of Boaz said, buy it for yourself. He removed his sandal and gave him the ability to buy it. Basically, he's like, he's saying, here you go. Well, I felt like God was saying he's giving you the ability to make contracts and also sign deals. And many of you are going to get ready to sign deals that you could have never had brokered. You could never have had this miraculous opportunity without God. These contracts, again, miraculous contracts, real estate, property deals to come through, invoices that contradict the current recession notices, and even checks that you never thought you'd be able to write out, these big of amounts or these big of purposes. Some of you are going to be signing legal papers for justice. Get ready for a wave of justice. There's going to be court cases that are signed off, custody battles that are in your favor, real estate wars that are finally done, personal reputation defamation wins are going to be they're going to come through in this next season. And some of you are signing correspondence with people of influence. Get ready for correspondence with people who are above your socioeconomic status, above your relational status network right now. They're people you wouldn't have an opportunity to correspond with through maybe online, maybe it's in person, maybe it's through actual correspondence of mail. People who have the keys to unlock projects and resources and their relational networks to you. Get ready to sign emails to people you've never dreamed you'd be able to talk to or correspond with. God is bringing connections together for us, and you're going to find yourself signing letters and emails that you didn't think you'd ever be able to write to politicians or ministers or leaders or cultural influencers, celebrities, and maybe even people in your industry. And God's giving these pens to writers who are going to use their voice for influence in the kingdom. We're going to see more people writing books and scripts and poetry and music. And he's giving a Psalm 45 theme, and I want to read this to you, Psalm 45, verse 1. It says, my heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. Some of you are going to be hit with that right now, that your tongue is going to be like a pen, just the beautiful, the poetry that will come out of your mouth, the way you're going to be writing, maybe giving speeches, maybe giving talks. I know I prayed this over someone who's going to do a TED Talk, and she did way better than she thought she would. She said, I felt the anointing to be able to give my subject away to the masses in a way that I've never felt before because God's spirit came on me and he touched my tongue, he touched my mouth. And she had the scripture given to her right beforehand too, after I prayed for her. Well, this Christmas, I also bought pens for our partners as a gift to bless what they're going to be signing because I kept having this recurring vision and theme. And I pray that God would give you that pen in the spirit as well. Some of you might be even get a pen in the natural or shoes in the natural and take that as a sign that God's giving you this, that maybe somebody's going to give this to you. And it's really God. Maybe you already got it. And it's really God showing you, I'm going to give you the ability to sign off, to be able to sign some things, to be able to write some things, to be able to make some contracts, to be able to make some agreements. And God wants to give you more authority, and he wants to position you more for the Father's will. And he has a desire for you to be able to influence the world. So I want to give that to you today as the prophetic word.
Okay. A couple things here. There's not a prophetic word. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. In all of the scripture that is given nationally over a year or over a nation that starts off with, if this just bears witness with you, then it's from God and it's for you. And if it's not, it's not. Because instinctively, I believe that there are people who are broke and poor and impoverished who hear a word about money, they go, oh, that's exciting. I want that. And oh, this must be for me. Or God's going to give you new ideas on investment. And you go, oh, yeah, I want that to be me. And you make a big financial investment, a big financial risk, and then you lose all of your money because you think it's a word from the Lord. This is not good. One of the examples that was given by Tyler was like, well, hey, one of the words that was given in the Bible was putting blood on a doorpost, right? Like that only people who that bore witness to, was it for them? No, actually, all the people who got that word, both Egyptians and Jewish people, everyone who got that prophetic word, they died if they didn't put that blood on their doorpost. It was a warning. Put blood on your doorpost. And they didn't get to say, well, I'm not going to put blood on my doorpost, right? Because this word doesn't bear witness to me.
Right.
They would still die. Like, they would still have been killed, whether they put the blood on there or not. So, no, you can't just say this word applies to me because I feel it so, or no, it doesn't apply to me because I don't feel it to be so. A prophetic word right. over all people for a year is for all people. Prophetic word for a nation is for the whole nation. You can't just pick and choose stuff. That's not how prophecy works.
Yeah, it's what I called it 500 earlier. Someone in the chat corrected me. It's called jackpot.
Well, I call it jackpot. Both, yeah, I knew exactly what it was.
Yeah. Either way, it actually is insightful that he said that at the beginning, because this is why we're hearing so many words like this. It's because of an entire, like, a view of prophecy that is erroneous. And that is, I can put general things out there, and whoever it bears witness to, well, that was God speaking to them. And that's there's no example of anyone in the scripture who gives a prophecy that's so fragile that it's just like, well, if it bears witness to you, it was for you, but if not, it wasn't for you. And that you just, it's like throwing, you know, we say throwing mud on the wall, like almost just like, yeah, it's a good idea. Like, there's no example of that. I mean, there's a reverence and trembling before sharing a word. It's not to be just like thrown out into the cyberspace like this. And so I would just say this is a wrong view of prophecy. And I would challenge anybody who is practicing this or advocating for this, I would say, show me in the Bible. Show me in the Bible, because that's our more sure word of prophecy. That's the one by which we test all the others. And what we see instead is we say, prophet saying, this is going to happen. Sometimes we hear him saying, this is going to happen if you don't repent. In terms of future words, that's pretty much the only kind. I don't see anything that's like, this might happen for some of you. And if you like it, go ahead and grab it. It's for you. There's no prophetic words like that. It's a wrong model. It's not prophecy. Stop it. And I'm just going to say this. Repent. Repent for misrepresenting God. I'm saying that to Sean Bowles. I'm saying this. We're being as nice as we can. But this is not prophecy. You're misrepresenting God when you do this. Don't do this, please.
So, correct.
Is that too strong, guys?
No, you tell me. I don't think it's too strong. So a couple things about this, though, is this idea that it resonating with you is the determinant of whether or not it's actually from the Lord or not is not a good filter for judging a prophetic word, whether it feels true or doesn't feel true. I could say this. There's a lot of kings that heard prophetic words from prophets, didn't resonate with them. But what happened to them? Well, Babylon came and destroyed them. So it resonating or not resonating doesn't determine the accuracy of it or not. Secondly, he mentions like the vague thing. And if this resonates with you, there's a reason why horoscopes are believed. It's actually a psychological phenomenon called the Barnum effect. And that's what we have going on here, is people saying, well, that resonates with me, so I'm going to activate it with my faith, which really just means I'm going to live as though that were true, which I don't call that faith. I don't think faith is trying to muster up psychological certainty. I think it's just trusting in a person, whether you want certain things to happen and they don't, or whether they do. But then secondly, here's the other thing about this. Let's say it does resonate. One of the things he said in here is you're going to win court cases. Okay, well, somebody gets taken to court. Well, man, I'm just going to activate my faith on this word that Sean Bowles gave. And then they lose that court case. Oh, did God lie to them? How do you, what do you do for that person? And who takes responsibility for that person that activated by faith? This is why I'm saying this stuff is actually, it's not just wrong, it's harmful, because this is exactly the kindest of things that we see happen. And I know this because I pastor people that have believed and try to latch on to these prophetic words that were given in various different ministries, like the Elijah List or other things like that. So the other thing, you know, I'll say this last little bit. He mentions the whole writing in 2023, that there's gonna be more people writing and giveaway pens and that kind of thing. Versus what? Are you going to be able to calculate the number of people who wrote books? Is there going to be more publications? Like, give us some sort of qualifier so that we know how to test what you said and go, oh, wow, he was right. But he doesn't. He doesn't once give a qualifier in any of this. And as far as like inviting Sean, hey, just so you know, I've got his number. I'll text him after this. I'll send him the video and invite him to respond. So I think he's an incredibly nice person. But I think he's wrong on this.
Yeah, I think he's a nice person too. I've got no reason to believe he's not a nice person, or that we wouldn't have conversations with people. We've invited lots of people on. Chris Reed's been on after we disagreed with Chris Reed. Isaiah Saldivar has been on after we disagreed with Isaiah Saldivar. And is it Pagani? Messaged me. He sent me. I got his email via Isaiah Saldivar, right? Okay. About one of our recent videos with him. Back to it paused the live video. That seemed odd. I must have clicked something wrong. So if it paused, guys, I'm sorry. All I was saying is that we are big fans of having conversations with people we disagree with. We invited, you know, Isaiah Saldivar's come on, Chris Reed's come on, maybe a Pagani will come on. But here's the thing. People are throwing Matthew 18 as if I have a brother who's in a secret sin that I know about, I should go to that person and confront them on their secret sin. And if that isn't, if they repent, I've won my brother, then it says, hey, go grab another person. If they won't repent, bring that person with you to that individual and correct that issue. And if that won't be corrected, then you go publicly before the church. That's Matthew 18, right? Next to Matthew 18, we have 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, we have a man who publicly is in a public sin, and he is sleeping with his father's wife, right? So probably his stepmom, something to that effect. And Paul says, look, this is such a public thing. Why have you not purged this sexual immoral from among you? Why is it that you are allowing this thing to continue? Take care of it. Paul mentions over and over again in his letters to Timothy, he says, hey, the blacksmith, that dude did me dirty. Don't worry. Don't mess with that guy. Hymenaeus and Alexander are mentioned specifically as those who have shipwrecked their faith.
Their teaching names spread them like publicly. Gangrene.
Their teaching spread like gangrene. He mentions them publicly in Galatians. He says those people, the Galatian church knew exactly who they were. Even though their names were not mentioned, they knew the people with influence that were teaching forced circumcision. He says those who wish to circumcise you, I wish they would emasculate themselves entirely. Like over and over and over again, public teaching gets public rebuke. So if we follow the Matthew 18 model in this situation, a really great book for you would be a church called Tove, for people who are trying to wrestle through what does public disagreement look like. You know, you actually keep people empowered who are mispracticing prophecy and or misteaching the scriptures if you only confront privately, right? Because that video of that prophecy is public. It's public. People are watching it. People are seeing it. They're getting swept away. They're investing. You know, hey, I'm not going to settle in this court case because Sean Bowles said that God will be my advocate. So I will dispute this thing. Boom, they're slammed in jail. Well, what happened, Lord? Like you said, this was going to be the thing. So we're stepping in and we're saying, hey, it's our responsibility to correct bad teaching or correct false prophecy, because the scripture commands us to do so. It gives us this example to do so. We're told to test prophecy. When someone gives a prophetic word or a tongue, someone would give an interpretation of tongue. That's a public moment. In 1 Corinthians 14, we're talking about church politics. or church polity, it's a public discernment of that prophetic word that takes place in that moment live in front of people.
Yes, this is the actual problem with the charismatic church is correct. Nothing can be corrected, and we create a culture of non-correctability, and we try to use Bible verses to do it. Matthew 18, it's in the community discourse of Jesus's, one of his five discourses in the book of Matthew, and he's talking about believers within a local community struggling to get along if your brother sins against you. Don't try to bring the, and he says, put them out of the church. So this is within a specific community. So this is very different from a public teaching. Josh listed lots of examples of public teaching being publicly rebuked, and we have lots of examples in church history. Athanasius confronting Arius, okay? Was Athanasius required to make a personal trek to go find, chase Arius down in the ancient world and make sure they have a personal, and then they bring like an elder in the church? I mean, no. He wrote against Arius because Arius was teaching Christological heresy. Now, Sean is not teaching heresy, but he is teaching a model of prophecy that it what we glean from it is not to fear God. And we also people end up banking on these prophecies. And guys, we're pastors of churches. We've just been around this so much. We see the devastation that it wreaks in people's lives. And we're saying, I'm tired of sheep getting hurt. Okay. I'm tired of it. And so it just needs to stop. And I'm tired of the charismatic movement being thrown under the bus wholesale because of this poor representation. So, okay, like, it's okay to bring a criticism. It really is. And yes, we consider Sean a brother, and we would gladly discuss with him. And Sean, we would invite you, please, have a discussion with us. And if you think we're wrong, if we think we misrepresented you in some way, then please tell us. But we are telling you, we think this is a serious error. But we also know, Sean, this is not the only one doing this. I mean, it is a huge component of the charismatic church. And that's what we're appealing needs to stop.
Yeah, and there's just, again, more confirmation bias here. You know, this prophetic words need to be tested within fivefold, you know, ministries of apostles and prophets, you know, not on YouTube channels. I mean, no, your opinion is not scripture, man. Scripture says explicitly in 1 Thessalonians to the whole church, to the church of Thessalonica, not to some people, not to elders, not to fivefold ministers, not to apostles, not to a specific group of elite Christian prophets, but to the whole church, not to despise prophecy, but to cling to everything, testing everything, to judge what is good and reject what is evil. And that's what we're doing. We're testing a prophetic word that is given publicly. And I think what happens though is we hold people's feet to the fire on this and they move. Well, hey, I think that prophetic word bears witness to me. Well, that's not how prophecy works. Well, like, this is maybe an example of that. Nope, that's not what the scripture says. There's never been a prophecy like this forever. And then the position keeps moving to, oh, well, you guys aren't doing the right thing to begin with. It's like, no, this is what we're commanded to do in scripture. We have to do this. And I think what happens is in the charismatic space, what we're doing is we're posturing people to believe God that would give them specific words. If you're a person out there and you're like, man, I want to grow in the gift of prophecy, don't give these vague words. Believe that God can actually speak, and that when he speaks, he can actually reveal the contents and intentions of people's hearts to such a magnitude and such a specific way that they'll fall on their face and declare God is surely among them. Like, I want to know when God speaks that it's so profound, that it's so real, that it's so tangible, that it causes something. It causes faith. It causes encouragement. It powerfully transforms them. And I think that when we keep putting examples of poor prophecy in front of people, that's what people are aiming at. And we really need to be able to say, no, not that. Aim for this. Aim for true, specific, sharp, applicable, God-revealing kinds of prophetic words. And I guess that would be my final
probably. I know we've already run over, but I think it does need to be said too. One criteria for judging a prophet is how have their prophecies been in the past, and so the one national word that I know of that Sean revealed besides this kind of YouTube channel, it's been sharing consistent general words. The one real specific one I know was that COVID was going to go away. I think it was like around April, but don't quote me on that. But I know that he missed the deadline. So he said, COVID's going to go away real soon. And it didn't go away real soon. So I know that he apologized afterward and acknowledged his miss, But then, which I actually commend Sean for, I think that's humble and that's right. But then I don't know where that apology went, and I don't know where the video of the miss went. And it could be that I'm terrible at Google, and that all three of us are terrible at Google, and we just can't find it anymore.
No, it was on his website, and it was removed from his website. So it's not like it just disappeared on accident. He removed it.
Yeah. So I would just say there's not necessarily like a rule book on how to follow this, but when that happens to anyone, I would say it's better just to leave the word and to leave your apology right next to it and let people deal with it, because like probably millions of people heard that word, and probably in the small thousands would be my guess, saw the apology. So the apology didn't like really get to run its course. So I would say just let them be side by side. And I think that would be a show of accountability, and it would represent the Church of Jesus well. That's my opinion on it. But I don't know what you guys think of that. But I do know that getting National Words correct would be one of the ways that we judge National Words. Like, okay, this guy's got a track record. So would you guys say that's accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Follow up on that.
That's accurate. We agree.
I think that's we're 10 minutes over our normal show time. So
anyone have any closing thoughts? Someone asked about prophetic books. I've got a bunch of them on my shelf that I might gather if someone wants to give some closing thoughts, and I will recommend some books for people.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. Yeah. I'm glad we had somebody in the chat responding and challenging on this, because he's presenting probably the same arguments that a lot of people from that stream are going to present, which is why we took the time to address it. So Tyler, I hope you don't feel like we're angry with you or trying to come down on you. I think there's a system of thinking that you've had because of being a part of that world. And honestly, I would guess that there's probably accurate prophetic words that Sean has given in the past, which is why you're like advocating for him and wanting to defend him. And I get that. I mean, it's a good thing to defend a brother, but in this case, it's also blinding you to the fact that he's made some really big mistakes, specifically in these public prophetic, arena.
Yeah, my guess is that Sean is probably a really good guy who loves the Lord, cares about his word, cares about obedience to his word, and tries to help other people love Jesus more. My guess is that he's all of those things, and that he is caught up, Michael's opinion here, in a charismatic culture that portrays prophecy wrongly. And I think he's just doing what's been modeled. I think he's just stepping into that. All of us, in some ways, we don't like to admit it. In some ways, we're products of our culture. And I think that this is an expression of that. I don't think this is a healthy culture. And that's what we're trying to bring a change to, so that prophecy can be practiced in a way that's holy and honors God and legitimately helps people and isn't dangerous. So anyway, I do want to say that much. Josh, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to recommend some books for people who are interested in reading up in prophecy, reading up on the gifts of the Spirit, growing in stuff. The Gift of Prophecy by Wayne Grudem is kind of like a must read for people who are like really interested in the gift of prophecy. Showing the Spirit by D.A. Carson is an extremely good book. Jack Deere, Surprised by the Voice of God. Jack discipled both Michael Miller and Michael Roundtree, who are on the other side of this call. Traveled with Jack, taught prophecy, displayed prophecy, gave prophetic words to people publicly on stage, and took accountability for words that they missed and owned words that they got right. I mean, these are really spectacular books. Understanding Spiritual Gifts, A Comprehensive Guide by Sam Storms. I couldn't find it on my shelf. I might have brought it home. There's a bunch of really good scholarly, doctrinally sound books when it comes to pursuing prophetic stuff. And if you're out there and you're like, hey, I want to learn more about that stuff, but I don't want to just learn in books. Some of you will read a book and be like, hey, I'm happy with that. I'm good to move on. But if you like more discipleship-based stuff, we do have an e-course that's coming out again in the spring. We just finished it with the fall. We had 60 students go through the course, and it was extremely fruitful. We have people telling stories about prophetic dreams, healings. There's this one guy who's like, I think God healed me. Like Miller prayed for me one time and my shoulder's not hurt since. I mean, super specific prophetic words for him in particular about being a cessationist, being really weary about the gifts and people not knowing that situation and people giving him prophetic words specifically about where he's at. So again, I'm thrilled to walk alongside people or just to resource them well, just depending on where they're at in their journey. So I hope that can be helpful to you I think that's Caleb Grimes that was asking that question. But anyway, any other recommendations that you guys would add into there?
Our conference. That'd be a fun one.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool. Go to the conference. There's a link in the description for that. Roundtree.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you hit a pretty good list of books there. So
cool. Okay. Yeah. Blessings, guys. We'll see you next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Is next week Sam Storms?
Next week is Sam. That's right.
Yeah. So yeah. He's coming on to talk about Jonathan Edwards. We might do another prophetic review video. Joel Richardson's coming on the 30th, talking about the pre-trib rapture. We've got a spectacular lineup. So you guys hit subscribe. Make sure to hit the bell notification so you're notified when we come out with this content. Blessings, guys. We'll see you next time. I want to thank Kairos Classrooms for sponsoring this episode of Remnant Radio. And if you're out there, you've ever wondered, hey, I wonder if learning a biblical language would be a supplemental tool for me to help me in my biblical studies. Well, you need to check out Kairos Classrooms. They offer Greek and Hebrew classes that can help teach you and train you. It's a live classroom environment with actual students and actual live teachers, and they help teach you the biblical languages of Greek and Hebrew. And you need to check out Kairos Classrooms today. There's a link in the description, and you can use the promo code REMNANT to get 10% off. These classes are already crazy affordable, but with the promo code REMNANT, REMNANT, you'll get 10% off of Kairos Classroom. So check that out today. And thank you so much for Kairos for sponsoring this episode of Remnant Radio.